Okay, today's daf Samach Zayin. We are on the Mishnah, right? On the Mishnah bottom, Samach Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah now is continuing, the Gemara is continuing discussing the process of the Sar HaMishtaleach, right? You had the two animals, one was appointed Sar LaShem, one Sar LaZazel, and it's taken outside, it gets assigned, it's that one, and then it gets taken outside, and then eventually it's going to get, you know, walked to the cliff, and then thrown off the cliff, right? So the cliff is going to, cliff here is the tzuk. The tzuk is what's called the cliff. So miyakre Yerushalayim, so those are the chashu people, right? The gvirim in Yerushalayim, hayum alavin also. They would accompany the person, the ish iti, who's walking with the sar mishtaleach, they would accompany him from Yerushalayim at tzuka rishona, to the first station. They would set up these stations along the way. Machlokes will see in the Gemara how many, Mishnah will say there's one Shita, they would set up these stations, these sukkos along the way, where I guess you can stop and rest. They had these, right, Vince Lombardi, rest stations, so they had these stations set up, right? So, Hayu Alavin also ad sukkah rishona, and they said that they, what Mishnah holds, they were eser sukkos. They were 10 sukkos, there were 10 stations, miyushalayim va'ad suk, from Yerushalayim until the cliff, that they would throw them off, right? That's a high hat on a mountain, and that's the Azazel, and that's where we pushed the mountain off. And the Mishnah says, Tishim Ris, there are 90 Ris, which is the name of some sort of measurement. It was 90 Ris from the Yerushalayim to the Tzuk, to the cliff. V'shiva u'mechza l'chol mil. And there's seven and a half Ris for each meal. Right? That's the, like a meal is 2,000 Amos. Right? So from Yerushalayim until the Tzuk, if you do, I guess 90 divided by 7.5, you get 12, right? So it's 12 mil. It's 12 mil from Yerushalayim to this. There's also a measurement, right? Again, each mil is 2,000 amos. So if you 12 times 2,000, you get to what 6,000 amos from Yerushalayim to the place. And there are 10 stations. Okay, I guess you got so the 10 stations. That means I guess there's from Yerushalayim to the first ris is first sukkah is 2,000, and then in between each sukkah is another 2,000 till the end. Okay. Each station is a mil. Al kol sukkah v'sukkah. When he reaches every station, they had food prepared for the guy. Omrim lo, they would say to the mishaleach, they would say to him, Hari mazon v'hari mayim. Here's food, here's water for you to drink. I guess it was a tough task, and maybe he'd be hungry or thirsty, even though it's Yom Kippur, and they would say, there's food, right? Umalavin oso misukkah v'sukkah. And they would accompany him. They, I guess, they had people at each sukkah. And the people from Sukkah A would walk into Sukkah B. B would walk into C. C to D. They would walk him all the way down. Chutz me achron shemehem she'enu magi imo l'tzuk. But from the Sukkah number 10 to the Tzuk, nobody would accompany him. He would be alone. The idea being, reason why is because from there, from that last Sukkah to the Tzuk, it's 2,000. It's more than 2,000 amos. It's too far, right? It's more than a mil, which means that if you're down in Eruv Tchumim, that person can't walk there. The mishaleach can walk there, no problem. He's got a mitzvah d'oraisa that tells him that he can go. It's docha or hutra or whatever it is. But for the people to walk him, they would have to set up an Eruv Tchumim. This first shita in the Mishnah, which is going to see it's Rav Meir, doesn't hold you make the Eruv Tchumim. And therefore, you can walk him the one mil between each sukkah, but from the last sukkah to the tzuk was beyond one mil, and therefore couldn't accompany him. I don't know why he couldn't accompany the one mil itself and then stop at a certain point. Or why didn't they make Eruv Tchumim?
They just make one more tzuk?
What? Well, why did they make one more tzuk?
One more sukkah.
Right.
How could they get from each it's sukkah only, to the next one?
It's only one mil. It's only one mil, and they can walk that.
But then eventually, after two, they're outside the...
If
they put an Eruv Tchumim after the second one...
But first, the Tanakam doesn't hold the Eruv Tchumim, so there's no Eruv Tchumim yet. We'll get to that in the Gemara. But this the Tanakam holds no Yitzchum. So, person from Sukkah 1 walks into Sukkah 2, stops, and he walks home. Person from Sukkah 2 walks into Sukkah 3, so they don't have
to. Nobody wanted to walk him the last mile because that they knew he didn't live out the years. Nobody wanted to join.
No, why didn't he live out the years? This isn't the Kohen Gadol.
No, we said yesterday that the guy who went with the mishaleach,
right,
didn't live out the year.
So they didn't want to be with him.
Nobody wants to be part of that group.
All right, let's say that here. Okay. What would he do when he got to the tzuk? Maya osa, cholik lashon shel zahoris. Remember, so they had this string, a ribbon that's tied around it. So he would split it in two. chetzi of kosher basela. He would put half of it onto the rock around there. And the chetzi of kosher ben shnei kronov, and half of it was tied between the two horns of the Adam. Thank you. Excuse me. The chetzi kosher ben shnei kronov, and then what would he do? Dechafo la'achorav. He would push him off the push it off the mountain. I guess back and facing him, he would throw it off the mountain. Vehu misgalgel v'yored, and it would roll and go down. Velo hayamagila chetzi ahar, and by the time it got halfway down the cliff, ache nasa ivarim avirim, until it basically was dismembered on its way down. So then what would happen? So he would come back. V'yashav lo tachas sukkah arachrona, he would walk back to the last, or the first sukkah from where he is. He walked back, and ache techshach, and he would stay there until it got dark. Because at that point in time, he doesn't have a mitzvah, I guess, to go anywhere. He has to get the mitzvah. He's allowed to go back, I guess, to a safe place, to a protected place. So he goes back to the first sukkah, sits there. Now he can't go any further. I don't know why he can't go any further between the tchum. Right? He can't go back any further. I guess, why can't he go any further? Why is it chilul yontif to go back? Baba Yoshev Rashi says, Chozer atzukah achrona, afal pisha yotzi chutz l'tchum, afilu b'rishus, eno el alpayim amu b'makum sheyotzi l'sham b'rishus, l'zei tiru l'fishu me'una v'cholash. Oh, so maybe the idea is, because when you go outside the tchum, once you go outside the tchum, you're not allowed to come back anywhere. So here they limited his permission to come back to the first sukkah, over there, because that's where he's protected. But to go any further, he doesn't want to stay in the dark, he doesn't want to stay by himself, so to go any further he can't. So even though he violated, he's outside the tchum, because he went so far, so therefore he's really supposed to just stay where he is. They gave him the permission to come back, but only come back to that last sukkah over there, in order that he's not outside on the, you know, in the Judean hills all by himself, which could probably be at night, which is scary, I guess. Okay, so at least at that sukkah, he's with somebody. Now the pasuk says in the Seder of Oz Yom Kippur, the pasuk says that the clothing of the mishaleach becomes tameh. Right? The pasuk is that mishaleach has to say ir lazalzel yichaves begadav. He has to wash his clothing. You only have to wash your clothing if they become tameh. So the Gemara says umeimasai mitam begadim. At what point in time do the clothing of the mishaleach become tameh? So first sheet is mishayetze chutz lechomas Yerushalayim. The moment he leaves the walls of Yerushalayim, he's tamei already. Rishimon says, no, mishas dichiyasa letzuk. He only becomes tamei after he throws the animal off the cliff. Right. Now the Gemara says a brisa about the distance from Yerushalayim to the tzuk. We're going to have a bunch of different shitas of how many sukkos there were, and what the distance was between the sukkos, and how he can travel from between one to the other. So Tana Rabbanan, eser sukkos, there were 10 sukkos, it was 10 sukkos and 12 mil. Divrei Rav Meir. That's our Mishnah. That's Rav Meir. Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir. Lines up. Okay, so you have 10 sukkos and ten sukkos and 12 mil. So therefore you have from Yerushalayim to the first sukkah is 1 mil. Between each sukkah there's going to be another 9. So that's going to be 9 mil, 1 between each sukkah, which gives you 10. From the last sukkah to the tzuk is 2 mil, which is beyond the tchum, exactly like our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Omer says, no, Teisha Sukkos v'asara mil. It's only 9 sukkos, and it was 10 mil. And this one is hard for me to follow. Like, what do you mean? Go measure how far it was. Why was there machlokas about the distance? They knew. You can still measure it now, if you knew the path. So what that's machlokas? He says, there were 9 sukkos and 10 mil. Okay, so they're separating them. So now, from after each mil was a sukkah, and the distance now going to be from the last sukkah, to the tzuk is also only 1 mil now. So therefore, for according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would be malavim. Despite your concern, Josh, they would be malavim the last way, because there's only 1 mil, which is allowed to travel on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, no, chamei sukkos v'asara mil hayu. It was only 5 sukkos, and there were 10 mil. So now, we got 2 mil between each, which is too much. The kulan in the eruv, there was no problem. They would make an eruv. They would make an eruv between each, an eruv tchumim between each, and therefore from one to the other is 2 mil, which is which would be, I guess, 4,000 amos, but you can travel that amount, because I guess you can travel and go back and forth, because now you have the extra room from the eruv tchumim. Amar Rabbi Yossi, who's Rabbi Lezer's son, sorry, Rabbi Yossi says, Sachli Elazar Bini, Rabbi Yossi says, his son Elazar said, if you're going to use eruv tchumim, And you can do Erev Tchumim, you could even just have Yecholi Lasos Afilu Shtei Sukkos Masar Milim. I can just do it with two sukkos. How can I do it with two sukkos and 10 mil? It's pretty easy. The way you set it up, the way you set it up is that you have the Erev in between each sukkah. So, from each sukkah, you have one person who makes the Erev this way, and you have one person who makes the Erev that way, and therefore, when you set it up and you divide it up, you can travel enough to... So how do you set it up? So how do you do it? So you count 4 mil. Basically, you count 4 mil from Yerushalayim to the first sukkah, right? And then you count another 4 mil, and then you... 4 mil from Yerushalayim to the first sukkah. Then another 4 mil from that second sukkah to the first sukkah to the second sukkah, right? And then you have 2 mil from that second sukkah until the tzuk, right? So now you have two sukkahs that that's within 10 mil. So the Anshe Yerushalayim would make an eruv a mil away from the city, and then they can walk 2 mil. And some of the people from the first sukkah would make an eruv back towards Yerushalayim, and they can walk there. So they would meet halfway, and then take them to that first sukkah. Then other people from that first sukkah would make an eruv tchumim a mil away from there, and then the other people from the second sukkah would meet and bring him to the sukkah, and then other people from the second sukkah would make an eruv tchumim on the other side of the sukkah, all then to be able to walk to the tzuk, and that's how it would line up. It must be a picture. Hartzell, let's have a picture.
But now you're talking about somebody leaving that sukkah.
What?
You talk about somebody leaving in that sukkah, staying there.
Yeah, people would stay there. People would stay there. They would set up. They would set up shop there before Yontif, 100%. Okay, so that's how they can do it. So if you're talking about eruv tchumim, you can set up in such a way that there are only two sukkahs. Whether that means there was or not, I guess maybe that's just he's saying. If you're talking about eruv tchumim, then why are you telling me there's only five sukkahs, you can even do it with two? I'm not sure. I think I don't understand what the machlokas is.
So the possibility is there would be only one zaken who would accompany him from Yerushalayim and then meet up with another one.
Yeah, one person would accompany him to the first station, to the in-between. Person from the first sukkah would then meet him there, bring him to the first sukkah. A second person from the first sukkah would bring him halfway to the next sukkah. A person from the second sukkah would then meet him there, bring him to the second sukkah. And a different person would then take him from the second sukkah all the way to the sukkah. And the Gemara asks, Kiman Azal HaDetanya, who is the one who says, Chutz Me'achron Shebehem Shlo Yimol Tzuk? Right, the same thing in our Mishnah. According to who is the Shita that says that no one would be Malabah him from the last sukkah to the tzuk? You don't want to stand in the distance and see what he did. Came on, that's Rabbi Meir. That's like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir held there's 2 mil from the last sukkah to the cliff, and he doesn't hold the views doing Eir Tchumim, so no one can accompany him that distance, but it's too far. It's too far from Vilal to walk that distance. Okay? Akol sukkah v'sukkah omim lo harimazon harimayin. Every sukkah, that station that he got to, they would say, here's food and water for you if you want to drink or eat. And tanda lo nir b'risa. Me'olam lo hutzuch adam lekach. No one ever took the food. Everyone always denied it. No one ever took it. So why do they have it there? Ella eino doma sheyish lo pas mesalo lemisha eino pas mesalo. It's very different if you have it available. You could go, psychologically oftentimes, you can go a long time without eating something on a regular day and say, oh, it's not a big deal. But on a fast day, you're not eating, you're always counting down the hours. So if you have the availability, it's not such a big deal. So now that he has the availability to eat, it's not such a big deal. It's not such a big onus on him to worry about fasting. I guess it's more of a psychological idea that his food's available. Once they make the food available to him, it's easier for him to not have to eat.
Do we assume this was the food that was used for the Erev, or that it was extra?
First of all, Rami doesn't hold an Erev. Second of all, the Erev is in the middle of the field, so it can't be the food that he's using for the Erev. The Erev is sitting out.
Right.
This is in the sukkah. Okay, and it says, I'll call sukkah for sukkah. In each sukkah they would do. Okay. Mahaya Osa. What would he do? Cholik lashon shel zahoris. He would split this ribbon that was tied around. So the mother says, why does he split it? Just take it off. Half it's on the animal, it's just going to fall down. What's the difference? So this whole point of this lashon shel zahoris was that it would turn white. And then we go, yeah, you know, it would turn white because there's sins were forgiven. He says, v'naktive kula basela. Why don't they just take the whole thing off of the animal and put it onto the rock? The mother says, no, keva de mitzvah besayir. There's a mitzvah, there's an obligation, there's a mitzvah to throw the sayer off, the goat off the cliff. Dilma, if you take the whole thing off of him, and you put it onto the rock, Dilma kadim umalbin umayasve daite. Gemara says that maybe God will forgive Bnei Yisrael already, and the red thing that is only on the rock now will turn white, and he'll be so happy that everything that's forgiven, he will not forget to push the Sawyer off the mountain. The guy just slept. He went through 10 sukkos. He was told to eat. He violated tchum. He's violating all these things on Yantif, and he's going to forget. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Segura says, that if you don't have the string or tie it around the animal, it may turn white earlier, and he'll be so excited that he's going to forget, and he won't push the goat off of the mountain. The guard says, okay, then leave the whole, why take it off? Just leave the whole thing on, just leave the whole thing on the goat. Binakturate kuli bein krona. Just tie the whole thing between its horns. Why do you have to cut it in half and put half of it on the rock? So Gemara says, because zimdin the gumish leilereshe the lov adaite. Sometimes, I guess, the head of the goat might be bent in such a way that if the whole string is on him and nothing's on the rock, then the guy won't be able to see the string and he won't be able to tell whether or not it turned white or not. Okay, I didn't say it. Gemara said it. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, learned in a brisa. Bari Shona, which means originally, Hayukoshrim Lashon Shazahoris al Pesach Ha'ulam. They would tie this, you know, this red string at the opening of the entrance of the ulam mibachutz on the outside, so everybody would be able to see that it turned white. So Hilbin Hayusmeichin, when it turned white, I guess it turned white different times. I guess at certain Hashem like waited for certain things, but it wouldn't necessarily turn white at the same time. Just had a certain every time every year it must be different. So Hilbin Hayusmeichin, if it turned white, they were all happy that the sins were forgiven. But I guess if there were too many sins, lo hilbim, right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu did provide forgiveness. Hayu atzayvim, they would be sad, or misbaishim, and they would guess would be embarrassed. So what would they do? Hiskinu sheyukoshim al pesach ulam mibifnim. They didn't want people to see, so they would take the string and move it on the inside, so it wasn't visible to people on the outside. Nevertheless, v'dayin hayu matzitzin ve'orin. People would bend down and see it. And with Instagram, they would post it, and everybody would find out in a minute. So still, people would still figure out a way to see it. Metzitzim roin, and Hilbin Ayusmechel got white, they were happy. Lo Hilbin Ayusmechel, if they didn't get white, they were sad. So then they do, Hiskinu Sheyukoshim also, Chetzu B'tzel V'chetzu Ben Karnav. What they did is, okay, we're going to take the string off, we're going to put it on the sheet, on the goat, and the string's going to go all the way out to the tzuk, and the only person who's able to see it is each E.T. is the only one who's able to see it, and he'll tell everybody afterwards, but no one's going to be upset because no one will see it. No one will know about it till I guess afterwards. I guess because he's stuck. I guess the people in the first sukkah might know because when he comes back, but it's not going to be available for the Hamon Am to see. Right? It's like a tape delay.
Till you knock him in.
Well, I don't know. Right. I guess he didn't want people to be saying on Yontif. I don't know. So Amar Rabbi Nachman Bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Lazar Kapar. Rabbi Nachman Bar Papa says the name of Lazar Kapar. Bar Rishon originally Hayukoshim Lashon Shazoris Al Pesach Ulam Bifnim. They were taught on the inside. The cave and Shigiyah Soli the Midbar, so basically originally they had it on the inside. And when the Sawyer got to the desert, Hayumalvin, that's when it would turn white. The Yadu Nasis Mitzvaso, and they would know that Shen Nasis Mitzvaso. They would know that that's at that point in time that the mitzvah was done with the Sawyer. Shenemar, had it with the simon that the turning white, the red string turning white, the Pasuk says, Im Yu Chatasechem Kashanim, right, if your sins are like red, Kashela Galbino. They'll be whitened like snow. That's no way. They'll be whitened like snow, and therefore, that's how you know that the sins were forgiven. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Lo hayu magil mechat nasit sahar. It's rolling down the mountain. It didn't even get halfway down the mountain, and it's dismembered. Its limbs are all over the place. So Ivailu, Osen Ivarim, those limbs that are now all over the place, Mahi Bahana. Can you get Hana from them? I don't know what you would use them for, but can you get Hana from that? From those limbs, right? I guess to feed them to your animals or something like that. Or it's asur b'hana, because it's the Sarei Lashem. Meaning it has status of a carbon or not, like after it's done.
A minute ago, we couldn't ascertain whether the thing turned white or not, and now how are we going to get the limbs? Because we couldn't see the...
After Yontif, someone's down in the valley over there, and he picks him up. Rav Shmuel, it's Machlokas Rav Shmuel. Chadam u'mutarim. One says it's mutar b'hana, the Chadam arsurin. And one says it's asur b'hana. So let's figure out what the machlokas is. Manda amar mutarin. The one who says it's mutar. Why? Diksev. The pasuk says v'shilach as a sa'ir b'midbar. You send the sa'ir out into the wilderness, into the desert. As Rashi points out, v'kroy yaseiruhu b'midrash. It's extra because what it says, they already know it's going there. So what is the extra? It says, so it means that the sa'ir goes to the midbar. Rashi points out it's hefker like the midbar. It's hefker. The midbar is hefker. The midbar is a place where everybody can go. So just like everyone can go to the midbar, everyone can go take this. It's mutar b'hana. Umanda Amar Asurin, the one who says it's Asur, he learns it out. The pasuk says, it says, Venasa Asuri Alav, Eskolav Anosam, the Sarah will carry the burden of all the sins. El Eretz Gezera. You bring it out to the Eretz Gezera. What is Eretz Gezera? Rashi says Gezera. It's like a Gezera, like a decree, which is Lashon Chomer V'Isser. It's a language of something that's strict and something that's Asur. It's a Gezera. It's Asur. You can't use it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Manda Amar Asurin. According to one, Manda Amar says it's Asurin. Well, what does he do with the word Midbar? Midbar teaches you that it should be mutter like the Midbar. Right? Manda Amar Asurin, Ha Midbar my Avid Lei. What does he do with the word Midbar? So Mibay Lei, he says, no, you need it. You need it for the following Mimud. Look at the Sanya. There's another Brisa. Another Brisa says, it discusses the fact, blesses the fact that it says the word Midbar by the Sayer, it says the word Midbar three times. The Pasuk says, L'shalech Osul Azel HaMidbarah. Vishilach b'yad ish iti hamidbara, and vishilach is a soya b'midbar. It says it three times. So it says three times, l'rabos novigivon shivon beis olam, to teach you that this mitzvah of the soya mishaleach doesn't only apply in the beis hamidrash, it applies in the Mishkan when the Mishkan was in novigivon, it applies when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, and applies in, when we're in the beis hamidrash. I mean, this is a mitzvah that applies even to, I don't know what the havmin would be to you that it wouldn't, but it teaches you that it applies into all these other places, that even when the Mishkan was in Novan Givon, and the Mishkan was in Shiloh for many years, they still have to send the Sa'ir to the Midbar. Okay, the Idach, and the one who learns from the word Midbar that it's Mutar Bahana, what does he do with the word Gzera, which seems to indicate that it's Asar Bahana? So my Abidle, what does he do with that pasuk? So Mibayle, he uses it for Lechidasanya, for the following Brisa. The Brisa says Gezera. What's Gezera? Ein Gezera el Chatucha. Gezera means it's sharp. It has to have a sharp decline, not a slope. It has to be Chatucha. Davar Acher, another link. Ein Gezera el Davar Hamit Gazer V'Yoreid. It's something that cuts it up as it comes down. I guess that's jagged. Davar Acher Gezera. What does Gezera mean? It's Shema Tomer Maise Tohu. You might say, this stuff is ridiculous. What is going on here? So the Azaza, what's going here? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem, it's a Gzera of Ani Hashem Gizartiv. I am the God who has commanded and decreed this. The Ein Lecha Rishus Lahar Abraham. It's a chok. This is what I said. Don't ask me any questions. Why do you have to do that? Because I said so. It doesn't work so well for parenting, but it's fine for God. And that's it.
Do we understand from this that Azazel isn't just specific cliff because
it's a cliff that is described. It has to fit a description.
Right, but it would have been a different cliff when it was given
It would have to be somewhere else. Right. And it's a much longer walk from Shiloh to they go whenever they drive, you like, take a tour, you go south from Yerushalayim, you go towards Maale Adumim, always someone goes, that's the cliff of the Azazel. It fits a description. That's all. Okay. Amar Rava, right? I love those stories. Amar Rava. Mistabra Kamanda Amar Mutarin. It makes sense to say that it's mutter. And he gives a different reason, not from a pasuk. He says, Lo Amar Torah Shalach L'Takala. The Torah is not going to tell you do something and then cause you to have an issue with it. If you throw her off the mountain and the limbs are all over the place and it's Asr Banah, so you're making it difficult for people because people are going to pass by and maybe they'll use it. You're creating a takala. Why would the Torah create the takala? So by doing it, must be it's mutar b'ana. The Torah would put you in a situation where by doing something, you'll be in violation. Tan Rabbanan, learn to the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Azazel. Right? Now we're going to translate the word Azazel, which is a difficult word. So Azazel means, she uz v'kasha. It should be strong and steep, or strong and sharp. Right, that's what it should be for the pasuk. Az v'gibor ma'uz. Sorry, you should see like the strong. Right, all those things are strong. Az yachol b'yishuv. You might think that maybe it can be in a populated area. Maybe you have some place in, I don't know, Yerushalayim somewhere that people live there, and there's a cliff that fits the description. Talmud Lomar, no, b'midbar. It has to be in the midbar, which is where it's not an inhabited area. And then u'minayim shetzuk. How do you know that it has to be off of a cliff? Right, I guess not necessarily like a slope, has to be off a cliff. Talmud Lomar Gezera means it has to be cut and sharp, and it has to be a mountain has to be cut, not a slope. The mountain has to be cut. That's a cliff. The mountain is cut by a cliff, and you have to throw it off the cliff. Tana Idach, another Brisa says Azazel. What does Azazel mean? Kasha Shevaharim. It has to be very strong. I guess it can't be soft rock. It has to be strong rock. V'chein Hu Omer, similar pasuk in Yecheskel. It says Ves Es Elei. Ha'aretz lakach. He took the strong ones from the land. So Azazel, El, Eli means strong. That's the pasuk. Tanabe Rishmal, this one is wonderful. Tanabe Rishmal, I mean, seriously, what does it mean, Azazel? Shehu mischaper, it provides kapara al maise uzav Azazel. It provides kapara for those who did the sin of Uz and Azazel. Who are Uz and Azazel? Rashi points out, Malachei Chabala. These are some evil angels, maybe demons. Sheyardu la'aretz v'mei na'ama achos tuvakayin. That came down. These are that came down to the land during the times of Naama, the sister to Lukayin, right before the Mabul. Va'aleim Nemar, and that's what the pasuk says. Va'yiru b'nei Elohim es b'nos Adam. That the angels saw the b'nos Adam. Kloma al arayos mitchaper. Comes to and they committed arayos with to get all to this demonology and things like that about these fallen angels that came down and saw the daughters of the earth and copulated with the daughters of the earth, and who says what happens, and that was part of what caused the flood. So what's going on? So I have in my notes here written down, so it must be from Simon Wolf. He quotes Rav Hendler. Rav Hendler was a Rosh Yeshiva in Shalvim when I was there. Now he actually has a yeshiva in Lod, which I think sustained some damage during what's going on. But so Rav Hendler said that he quoted the Medrash. There's a Medrash that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, these two angels came to Kadosh Baruch Hu and said, look at your people that you created, they are sinning. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, well, they have a Yetzirah. They said, so what? He goes, fine, I'll give you a Yetzirah too, because you're a Malach and you don't have it. I'll give you a Yetzirah, and you go down, and let's see what happens. So they went down, and they sinned too, right? It's an even worse than the answer is, they said, well, if the Yetzirah is so strong, then there's no responsibility. There's no responsibility anymore because you just proved that once you have the Yetzirah, you can't control yourself. So they went to this one woman, and this one woman then negotiates with them and says to them, okay, if you want to sin with me, you have to give me your shemos, that's basically your keys to get back to Shemayim, to get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said, okay, and they gave it to her, and she walks out, and she takes the keys to heaven, and she goes back to be close to Hashem, and they're stuck. So you see that you, even though you have the Yetzirah, there is an ability to, the Rambam points out, there's an ability to leave the Yetzirah behind you. What's the key? You have to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to take the keys, and you have to do something that brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you can leave this Yetzirah, and you can elevate yourself, and you can be Mekadosh yourself. So that's what there still is responsibility, because there is an out. There's a way to conquer the Yetzirah. Okay, side point. Tanu Rabbanan. We learned in Ebraisa. Now, we said before, this is pointing to the fact that we said that the Sar Lazazel is Gezerah, which meant, you can't argue with me. I made this, I said this, and that's that. So Tanu Rabbanan, learned in Ebraisa. The pasuk says, "Esh mishpatai ta'asu." You do my mishpatim. What's the mishpatim? Mishpatim are devarim she'ilmalei nichtavu. Even if they weren't written, dinhu she'yichtavu. It would make sense that they make that sort of like natural law type things. These are the type of rules that every society has to have in order to be successful. The Elohein, one of those, avodas kachavim, idol worship, gilu arayus, shvichas damim, gezel, right? Gilu arayus is, you know, illicit relationships. Shvichas damim is murder. Gezel is theft. Birchas Hashem, which is cursing out God or being a kofar. These are things that people would have thought about them on their own. Like mitzvah sichlios, according to the name words of Rav Sajagon. Right? The eskukosai tishmoru, but my chukos you also should guard. What are the chukos? Those are dvarim shasatan meshiv aleihen. Those are things that the satan, they say, what are you doing these for? This makes absolutely no sense. For example, Elohen, achilas chazir, can't eat pig. Why not? It's a big deal. Right? Drisha satnes, can't have wool and linen together. What does it make sense? Chalitza Yavama, Drun Chalitza, Vitaras Mitzora, the whole process with the Mitzora, Vesar HaMishtaleach, that's why it's here, throwing the goat off the cliff. Vishemar Yitomar Maisei Tohim, you might think that these all things are all worthless. Tamalomar, the passage says, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Chakaktiv, I am God who, Chakaktiv really means engraved, I am the God who I made these chukim, Ve'en Lecha Rishus Lahari Bahem. You can't, there's no, you can, you're allowed to try to understand them, but can't be mahara after them to say that they make no sense, and therefore I'm not going to do it. Interesting, though, is that if you look in the Shmona Prakim of the Rambam, in his introduction to Perkei Avos, I said to quote on the side here, he says that Gilu Arayos are chok. The Gemara here says that Gilu Arayos are mishpat, that they make sense. The Rambam puts Gilu Arayos on the chok side, to figure out what the machlokas of that is.
It's interesting that the Israeli TV show Stiesel would where one of the characters marries his cousin or gets engaged.
Right, but that's not a Gila Rice.
Yeah, but the non-Jews find this so distasteful, whereas I think to most Jews it's no big deal.
Right.
So it's not a normative.
Right. So Amosai Metame Begodim. The next case is, the Mishnah says, at what point in time do the, by the way, spoiler alert, okay, just whoever didn't watch the show. So Amosai Metame. At what point in time does the clothing become tameh? Says a machlokas. One man d'amar said that when he leaves Yerushalayim, and Rav Shimon says when you push it off the cliff. The Tana Rabbanim learned in the Braitha, and the pasuk says the mashaleich has a sa'ila zezeli chabes begadav. Mishaleich matam begadim. The one who's the actual guy who's walking with it, he's matam begadim. The ain hasholeich has a mishaleich matam begadim. But the person in the Beis Hamikdash who sends the mishaleich on his way, you know, the one who hands over the reins to the sheep, he's not matam begadim. Yochol mishayetzi lichutz lechomos azara. You might think that he becomes tameh the moment he leaves the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. Talmud lomar hamishaleich. That mashma is that only when you actually accomplish the shiluach. When you accomplish the shiluach, that's when you leave and you go out. Im mishaleach, if mishaleach means that you only become tameh when you accomplish what you were sent out to do, yochal atchi gila tzuk. Maybe you only become tameh when he reaches the cliff. Talmud lomar viha mishaleach with the extra vav. So what does that mean? So haketzad, why does that work? Mishayotza chutz b'chomosh Yerushalayim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He becomes tamei. This is the price that's expanding on the sheet in the Mishnah. He becomes tamei not when he leaves the Beis Hamikdash, not only when he gets to the tzuk, when he leaves the walls of Yerushalayim. That's when he becomes tamei. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says no. The pasuk says right. The full pasuk is the Azazel Hamidvar. Right? How does the pasuk work? It says Amishleik Sasir Lazel Yichabes Bigadov. I don't know where it says. He says Azazel Vikibes. It must be a juxtaposition between the word Azazel and washing your clothing. So when does the washing your clothing take place? When you reach the Azazel. What's the Azazel? That's the cliff. Achi Gilatzuk. That's where you get it. From Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon says Mishaleich Es Tasair Azazel Yichabes Bigadov Zorek Bas Rosho. The Azmatam Begadim. Here it says the Mashaleich Es Tasair Azazel. When you throw it off the cliff. So he says you only get tameh once it's not when you get to the cliff. Well, once it's tossed off the cliff. Three shittos of when the clothing becomes tamei. Okay, let's do the next Mishnah.
Can I just ask, because in yesterday's Gemara, when we were learning the...
I'm a block behind, so let's not.
Okay, one of the things we were learning in the questions that Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer was whether if the seer didn't die, he had to go down and kill it.
Right.
The Chachamim say that he has to go down and kill it. So it's interesting that in this Gemara they don't even mention that as a possibility.
Why? We discussed it yesterday. Then. Why do I have to mention it here?
Well, because here we're discussing the actual procedure for...
Because it's probably never happened.
But that only happens, that's an if case. We're not talking about the if case. We're talking about what the normal cases are. The normal case to throw it off, and the Mishnah says, I think the question's on the other side. The Mishnah says here that it didn't even get halfway down and it was already dismembered.
Yeah.
So how'd you ever have a case where you had to go back down to kill it?
Okay. I have it still going back to the other question. How do you have, if you're able to go down to kill it, then you would be able to go down to ascertain whether it was white or red.
Yeah.
Right, and how do you go down to get kill it? Also, it's supposed to be some crazy cliff. How do you get him down there?
Well, that makes sense with the part that you couldn't ascertain.
Right. But I don't agree. Okay, so the Mishnah is now going to continue. We're done with the Sar Mishaleach. Remember where we're standing. He finished what he was up to in the Beis Hamikdash. Sends out the Sar Mishaleach. He had just thrown the blood and came out. Now he's got to deal with the actual carcasses of the par and the sire, which were shefted. So now what happens is his bogos, we're going back to the Kohen Gadol. So we had like a commercial break with the Sar Mishaleach, and now we're going back to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol went below Eitzel Par V'Sar HaNisrafim. He goes back to the Par and Sayer, where he already took their blood and he sprinkled him, but now he has the actual animals. So what does he do with them? So Kira'an, so he tears them apart. The Hotzi Esimurein, he removes the fats, the insides from them, and those are the things that are supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Unesanam B'Magis, and he puts them in some sort of kli, in some sort of bowl or plate. He puts the fats, beautiful, puts them inside, and now they're going to walk them upright with the kli shares, right, the holy vessel. The iktir and agav mizbeach, and he's makter them. The Gemara's going to focus on makter them. Seems to be makter with the kaara. He's makter them on the mizbeach, okay. And then what does he do? Kila on b'mak laos. then he sort of like weaves the carcasses on these posts, I guess, and he puts them together. V'hotzion lebeis hasreifa, and other people then take them out. There's this place outside. These aren't burnt on the Mizbeach. They're burnt out somewhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of Yerushalayim, in order to burn them. They are burnt. Okay. Now the people who take the Paran Sayer outside of Yerushalayim to burn, their clothing also become tamei, and they have to be washed. Right? The pasuk says, "V'asareif osam," and those who burn them, Yichabes Begadav, will wash the clothing, V'rachatzis Mesro B'mayim. He himself has to go to mikvah. So at what point in time, I guess Nachmin will be, let's say someone stops in the middle. At what point in time do their clothing become tameh? Mishayatsu chutz l'chomos hazara. That first kind of comment says, the moment you leave the Beis HaMikdash with the carcasses, that's when they become tameh. Rabbi Shimon Omer mishayatsi tzaor beruban. No, they become tameh only when the majority of the carcass is consumed already or engulfed in the flames outside.
But isn't now
not yet. He's not there yet. We didn't get to that yet.
Is there an afternoon of when they become tamei?
Yeah, I just said. Let's say he stops halfway. Are they tamei or not? The guy is fasting. He's walking the animal out. He left us the chomos azara and he plots us. Right? So he can't go any further. Of course, first guy, first tadakama, still already tamei. Second, second, Shimon, he's not tamei. Right. I mean, I just made it about Nakamina. That's all. So, he has to do that also. He has to change his clothing to do that, right? He hasn't done that yet. So the question is, with this taking it outside, where is it? Mark, I think Andaf, where is Andaf? Ayin or something like that is a machlokas of what the order is. Let's do a little bit in the Gemara. The Gemara then says, the hiktiran sakadaitach, right? The Mishnah said, I pointed out, the Mishnah said that after he tears open and he pulls out the fats, he puts the fats in this bowl, Umatiran, which is mashma that he's mocked with them right away when he puts them into the bowl. The Gemara says Viktiran Sakadaitach, you would think that now he's mocked with them? You can't be mocked with them now, because like you said before, the Zman of the Kohen Gadol, he's mocked with these when he changes into the gold vestments and he's mocked with the Korban Musaf. That's when he's mocked with them. It seems to here stay that he puts them in the bowl and is mocked with them right away. But we know that's not to be true. Like Rashi says, and there's a major girsa issue. See this one Tosfos? But there's a major girsa issue. Rashi says in the Gemara, so it's where it says Gemara, he says, Hachi garsinon, v'hiktiron salkadaitach? What does it mean that you're mocked? The Gemara says, answers, Ela ema lehaktiron al gavizbeh. What they do, they put it in the bowl in order to prepare it. They don't want to leave it on the floor, so they put it in a bowl to prepare it. So when the time comes, they'll take them out of the bowl and then bring them. It's not mocked to them right now. So Rashi says, right, lo garas b'magis mocked yolohu. The old girsa, which Tosfos says is in all the girsos, is that the question was, like I said before, you makter it in the bowl. Tosfos says that's not the girsa. The girsa mishubeshes he kan. That's a messed up girsa here. Umeseches psachim, umeseches sota. That's not the girsa. The shaper habishayach lemisna the tana v'tim b'magas. The b'magas malas on mizbeach. Yeah, because you bring it up in the bowl up to the mizbeach. So it makes sense to say it's in the bowl, right? The kavasei, tanina, and tuva, all these other places. But the question is, he says, El Haki Kashale, so it's in the first wide line. This is the Kasha. And Marcellus, your question. Viktiron Sakadaita, you makter it now? Vichi Akshav who maktiron? Now? Valo Odenu Lavush Bikte Lavon. He's still wearing the white clothing. Vadayin Alav Likros HaParsha B'Megadim Alalu. He still has to read the Torah in the white clothing. Viacharkach Yitbol, then he has to do Tvila. Viyilbash Bikte Zahav, and then put on the gold clothing. Le'elo, to use his ram, the Elaam. Viyitbol Shniyah, then he has to do Tovil again. And to turn chain into white clothing, go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lahosi Kafim Machta, and then come out for Yitpol Shlishis, and then be Tovel again to do the Musafim, the Emur Chatos Halalu, the Tomash Abayim, to then be Machta the Musaf, these fats, and the Korban Tamid. Kedektani Bipirkin will come on, we'll see later on. So what does it mean? That's the question. The Gemara's question is, what are you talking about? How can it be that he's Machta them right now? So the Gemara answers, you're right, he's not Machta them right now. We just put it in the bowl, and we hold it there, because we don't want to leave it on the floor. We hold it there, we put it in the bowl in order that when the time comes, later on, to be marked to them, it's all ready for him to go. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up by the club with my colors. Everyone have a great day.